Dream big and save big on your next backyard project at Menards. Whether you're shopping for edgers, pavers, or wall blocks, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Build a beautiful border for your landscape with our Crescent Edgers on sale now through April 12th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
The Jets need a quarterback. The Jets have the number two pick in the draft, and Dante Moore is going back to Oregon, leaving one elite prospect available. So now what? Welcome into Flight Plan. Tim McMaster here along with Zach Rosenblatt. Thanks for checking us out. The baggage handlers tuning in on YouTube, thank you for joining us. Get your thoughts and your gripes in the comments section as well, and give us those five-star reviews wherever you do listen to the podcast. Zach, how are you doing?
I'm good. We're in the off season, we're here
officially.
Yeah. I mean, I think yesterday's news was not what I expected. I mean, it's funny. Like we've been talking about it, like it was a 50-50 possibility the whole time, but still in my head, I'm like, I don't know. There hasn't been many guys who have turned down that much money. Like he was pretty much whatever you think about him. Like I know there's been a lot of argument both with me and just in general about I'm not trying to step on it, but anyway, we're going to get into those conversations, but, anyway, I would say I am doing well. I am starting my New Year's resolution, which is going back to the gym and trying to eat healthy because I was doing a very poor job of that.
That's a really unique, yeah, unique.
I know I'm pretty unique, but for me, I need it to be one because if I don't commit to doing something like that, then I'm just gonna keep my bad habits, which are eating junk food like sweets and snacking and. Eating too much and eating bad things. So I'm trying to get back into shape. And then, so by the next time the Jets are in training camp, I'll be feeling a lot better about myself. But anyway, I'm excited about the offseason, even though
that food at the Jets facility too.
Exactly. Yeah. They're not feeding me freely every day now. So I have to make lunch for myself too, which, a lot of times my crutch is just get takeout, which I get yelled at for. So, but yeah, we're back in the mix. And I'm excited. I'm excited for this offseason, even if the quarterback isn't going to be going number two overall. Jets have so much cap space. I think that now the Jets have become sidelined by all this Giants news because all of a sudden John Harbaugh and the Giants are all anybody wants to talk about, whereas the Jets lost out on the quarterback that, which we're going to get into. And so it's going to be, the Jets are kind of going to be working in the shadows, if not this offseason, certainly in training camp. Like the attention is all going to be in East Rutherford. It's not going to be in Forum Park. So that's going to be a fascinating dynamic. And I do wonder what Woody thinks about the Giants getting all this positive publicity is what I would say.
Woody may not be happy about it, but it's probably a good thing overall.
Yeah.
Like just take the attention away, especially because there won't be that young, shiny quarterback at Forum Park at the Jets facility. So yeah. Let's just build this thing on the down low while all the attention goes to the Giants. All right, let's get into it. Dante Moore going back to Oregon. You said it he's leaving. Well, I'll play devil's advocate, Zach. He is leaving immediate money on the table. But if you look at the statistics of quarterbacks that don't have that much college experience and how they do in the NFL, you could argue that by going back to school and still making good money in an NIL world at Oregon, he's setting himself up to make more money throughout his career because he's more likely to be a successful NFL quarterback. Now that's the long game.
Yeah. Which, yeah.
For a early 20, that's a tough sell, but I would say outside of the Jets perspective, it may be the better move. And I don't mean because he's dodging the Jets, as people have said. I'm just saying one more year of college ripening.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you just take a step back and look at it that way, number one, times are different in that while he's not going to be getting the same amount of money he would from the Jets, I think I saw the numbers 7.5 million or 8.5 million he's going to be getting from Oregon. That's he's a millionaire. So like, even if worst case scenario happens and he, you know, gets injured and his NFL career never takes off, he's pocketing around $8 million purely from NIL. And he might even get more than that, like on the side marketing wise and stuff like that. So, like that's the difference here, I think, is you look at that part of it. So let's say this is the past where you don't have that option to fall back on, you know, passing up that much money would be, you know, it's a bet on himself, but, you know, it's something that, yeah, I don't know. I still think it's like crazy to pass up the amount of money he was going to get, but I do get it. Like, I think he is betting on himself. He's betting on going back to school, getting the experience that you need, because the history of guys with his experience generally do not exceed in the NFL. Like over the last 10 years, I think the only one you can call a success was Kyler Murray, and the other ones are like Anthony Richardson's the most recent example, and that was a disaster. And I mean, he pretty clearly was not ready. I think Moore was far further along as a prospect, but very flawed. And he would have been going to a situation, whether it was the Jets or not, where they probably wouldn't have wanted to play him right away. And then he's not getting those reps either. So like on a personal level, it does make a lot of sense. I do think at the end of the day, we'll find out if this was a good or bad decision. Like you've seen a lot of quarterbacks in recent years, especially last year, actually, that decided to go back to school and it backfired. Garrett Nussmeier and Drew Aller are the top two in that regard. Even before Aller got hurt, he wasn't playing well. And Nussmeier had a really down season. So, like, those are two guys that were viewed as, like, definite first-round picks. There are others from past years that I can't think of off the top of my head, but they're, I'm sure in the chat some people will think of some names of guys that went back and it backfired. But, you know, this just makes the next year's draft class look pretty ridiculous. And I think we probably were talking about this year a year ago as it could be pretty cool, because you're like, oh, Arch Manning will probably come out and nobody knew who Dante Moore was. Fernando Mendoza wasn't really on the radar in the way that he is. So it changes quite a bit. But you look at Arch Manning, you look at Dante Moore, Lenore Sellers going back. You have Arch Manning will almost certainly be in the draft next year. I think there are some other guys that are like going to become eligible to go to the draft at next season. So there's no lock that he's going to be number two overall next year now, is what I would say. Like, whereas I think it was a lock he was going to be number two this year, whatever you think about him, which is what I was about to rant about before. Like, whatever you think about Dante Moore, and there's been a lot of debate about, oh, he wouldn't have been ready. He would have been the wrong pick anyway, blah, blah, blah. Like, remove all of that for a second. Like, he was going to be the number two pick. Like, that's a fact. Whether it's the Jets trading back or whatever it was, like, he was going to be number two. Whereas now he's going to be in a sea of good quarterbacks, and somebody like a Mendoza could emerge in college football this next year. And he even had, you know, there were some, you know, projections and debate about whether he's like number one overall worthy. I think that would have been crazy for the Raiders to pick him over Mendoza, but it was at least out there. And I think now you just don't know where he's going to go next year. He might still be top five. He might still be top 10, but it's a risk for him. And, you know, sometimes these bets pay off and sometimes they don't. And we're going to find out for him if this was the right move, because, you know, I just don't see him as a lock to be anything next year unless he wins the Heisman or something like that. And he's still going to have to contend with Arch Manning. No matter what you think about Arch, he has the name brand and he has the skill set. And so it's going to
be. And he really played better as the season went along. Like, you could see Arch kind of figuring it out.
Definitely.
So, and he's got cool. Yeah. Man, they have loaded up on weapons around Arch for next year at Texas through the portal over the last week or so. New running back, best receiver in the portal. Like, so. He's got plenty of weapons to play with.
I will say it's interesting. The Dylan Raiola going to Oregon now looks fascinating to me, because I kind of thought that was a sign Moore was leaving, but clearly Raiola is fine with sitting for a year and extending his college career even more. I mean, I guess there's always a risk that, I mean, I know he got hurt last year. I don't remember when, but yeah, so that I don't follow college football closely enough to understand why Raiola did that, but that's fascinating to me that a starting caliber college quarterback is going to agree to sit for a year, essentially.
All right. Before we get to, well, let's get into what they should do now, right? What the options to do now. You have these two first round picks, number two, number 16. Number two, a quarterback, is obviously not something you want to do at this point. But, and we've talked about this before, Zach, like, you at number two without Dante Moore available, you probably end up with the number one draft prospect in this draft if they choose to stay there. And that's Arvell Reese, the edge rusher. it's a spot that obviously the Jets could use some help there on the edge. He's a dominant guy. We talked to Dane about it, all the different things he can do. He's not just like that rusher. He's a beast, and he's a guy that can, I think, can change a defense and become a leader on a defense. That's a possibility. They could also try to move back from that spot and get even more draft capital. Although, what is the value there? And I know you wrote about this a little bit. If there isn't a quarterback to trade up to, is anybody going to want to trade up to number two? Like, are people going to are people going to trade draft capital to go up and get Reese?
Yeah. So I wrote a column saying like this was the worst case scenario. I think I probably could have phrased like that specifically better for the Jets, because in a few ways, I think number one, you remove even the possibility of picking a quarterback number two, and you can debate whether they would have had to force it or whatever. Like, there are people that think Dante Moore is going to be a very good NFL quarterback, no matter what, like, the general, like, anti-Moore Jets fans think. So you remove the quarterback, which, you know, okay, let's say the Jets do not like him. There are teams that like Dante Moore, and somebody would have traded up to number two. And you remove that possibility completely now. Like, I don't think anybody's trading up for an edge rusher or a linebacker, and those are probably the most likely outcomes at number two right now. So you removed any sort of value the pick had when Dante Moore decided to go back to college. And I think while on, I personally think whether Moore was in the draft or not, I did always think that for the health of the organization, forcing a quarterback at number two was not the right move. I think building the roster out was the right move. But if you're someone who supports Aaron Glenn, and I know there's not a lot of people that do right now, I think this is bad for him in the sense that you don't have a quarterback anymore to like lean on to say like, okay, like, yeah, we didn't win. We didn't make the playoffs. We didn't compete for the playoffs, but you know, we won enough games. We had a bridge that did okay. We showed that we have a competent organization, and we have a young quarterback to be like, he could be our guy. They don't have anyone on the roster, and they won't, I don't think, that you'll be able to point to and say he could be the guy. Like, we feel confident that he could be the guy. And I know that didn't ultimately work for Jackson Dart and Brian Daboll, but it worked for Joe Shane. Anyway, the point being, like, your leash is a lot shorter when you just don't have a quarterback in the room. And maybe they could, maybe the carrot they could hang in front of Woody Johnson is that, well, we're going to get the quarterback in 27. Just let us get through this process. Like, they haven't shown enough to get through this process. So I think for Aaron Glenn's sake, he really needs to show something this year with probably not a great quarterback, because the options are not great. And we're going to get into that, obviously, both free agency and draft wise. The options are not particularly appealing in terms of like having a starter in 2026. So this was bad news for 2026. Maybe it's good news for a long-term future. I push back on that a little bit because it removed all value from this draft pick, but they could still come out of this draft some really, really good players. The problem is the Jets have a need for really good players almost across the board. So I think it's a net negative for the Jets that Dante Moore didn't enter the draft, but they can salvage it if they hit on these two first round picks. And that's pretty key, obviously.
I know it's this so much time and there's a lot can happen and change, but in your mind, if you were guessing, if you were betting, do you think a quarterback at 16 is in play, or do you think they're just going to make the call that, like, that's a 2027 problem?
It's a good question. I mean, it's hard to say without knowing what they think about Ty Simpson. But if I'm a betting man, yeah, I think it's absolutely possible that Simpson would be the pick at 16. If I'm predicting like right the second, I'd say no. I don't say it with a lot of confidence. I think something that would intrigue me, I think Connor Rogers and Joe brought this up on their pod, like the idea, because they have a pick number 33 as well as the other one in the 40s. Like, 33 is essentially like an additional first round pick without the fifth year option. So you either have the ability to draft somebody who falls to there, whether it's Ty Simpson or Trinidad Chambliss, or you do what the Giants did and you trade up to the 20s and get Simpson if he's still there. I think that would be the best outcome in my mind, where you're getting two elite level prospects potentially in, you know, we can get into the options, but, you know, a defensive player at number three, maybe you get an offensive weapon at number 16, and then you trade up for number 33 to like 20 or 25, and you get Ty Simpson or Trinidad Chambliss or whoever is higher on your board. And I think that's like a best possible outcome, because then you have a situation where that quarterback isn't necessarily under pressure to play right away because he's your third first round pick. And if he's not good after the first year, you can be like, okay, we took a shot at it. Let's try and draft Arch Manning now. Let's try and draft Dante Moore again, like whatever it is.
If he's your third pick, then you can you can cut bait on that, I think, and go back for another. You can do what the Browns do. Just keep taking quarterbacks.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's not a bad. I think they should draft a quarterback regardless this year, whether it's Ty Simpson first round, Trinidad second round, Garrett Nussmeier fourth round, Drew Aller fifth round. Like, whether it's early or late, they absolutely need to draft a quarterback to develop this year and hope that you hit on somebody. Because as of right now, the quarterback room is Justin Fields, Brady Cook, Hendon Hooker, and Bailey Zappi, who signed with the team since we last spoke. We didn't do an emergency pod on Bailey Zappi.
No, we didn't. I thought about texting you, but I was like,
yeah. Remember the brief moment where Patriots fans thought he was like the guy because he came in for Mac Jones? Who, speaking of Mac Jones, is probably the, if not one of the top options for them this summer, ironically. So that's kind of funny. But yeah, so they're pretty desperate for quarterbacks. They probably need to add three different quarterbacks. One of them's not going to be Dante Moore. But yeah, I mean, it makes their draft really interesting, at least for me personally, just because there's pretty much every possibility is on the table now, because you can make an argument for almost, like, as we sit here right this second, you can make an argument for any position for those two picks, because they haven't decided what they're doing at left guard. So somebody like Francis Maui-Gough, who's the brother of the Jets linebacker, he apparently can play guard, and they have an opening at left guard, and that would make their offensive line very good. Until we know what they do with Breece Hall, you could float Jeremiah Love as a possibility. Not with number two, but with the other one.
Because either of those guys at two, right?
No. I don't think so, unless you really, really believe in those guys. But like Jeremiah Love, the Lions picked Gibbs. Everybody killed them for it at the time, and he's been an absolute stud. Even if you get Breece Hall, I think Jeremiah Love isn't like a 0% chance. You need every level of the defense. Like, maybe there's some who don't think they need to draft a corner, but if there's a guy you're like, okay, this guy can be a shutdown at 16, you draft him. Or like, you know, Caleb Downs, you could trade up and get him. He probably won't go to 16, but like any position is on the table at 16. Like, because they need every single position on this roster. They need a receiver. They need, maybe you're not going to draft a tight end at 16. I'll say that. Like, maybe I feel good about that because they like Mason Taylor and they just re-signed Ruckert. But outside of that, like, any position's on the table, and then the possibility of moving up from 33 or moving back from 33 and getting more assets. Like, they just have a lot of maneuverability, and I'm just very curious to see how they capitalize on that. Because this is when we're like, people really liked a lot of the stuff Muji did, and as I've said and others have, Glenn deserves credit for it too because he makes all final decisions. But we're really going to find out what this regime is made of this offseason. When you have $100 million in cap space, how do you spend that? Do you just go and blow it all on the top guys of free agency, or do you spend it smartly? And then how do you operate with these four draft picks and the first 45 picks? Like, that's it's really going to tell us a lot about what this regime is like and if it's the right group. And, you know, I think if there's any nervousness, it would be that, you know, if Aaron Glenn and Darren Muji are not the right fits, you're giving them all this money and all this draft capital to use. And if they mess it up, then the next person has to suffer the consequences of that. But you don't think like that. When you bring them back, you don't think in those terms. You're not like Woody's not going to be like, I don't want you using any of this money. Like, don't sign anybody because I want to save it just in case you're not the right guy. No, you're going to go, you're going to do what you have to do to try and be good this season. And you hope that they're operating with the future in mind and not just trying to save their jobs, which is always the risk when you have, you know, a coach on the hot seat in theory, which, you know, I would think Aaron Glenn is. So that's it's going to be a really interesting line that they're going to be walking on this offseason. And I think Aaron Glenn's not somebody, to his credit or, you know, detriment, I don't think he really listens to what people are criticizing him for necessarily. And I don't think he cares what the outside noise is that he is coaching for his job. I feel like he's going to operate with, we have the next couple of years in mind, not just this year. And that's what Jets fans should be hoping for, because when you have a coach or GM doing it for their job, that's when you overpay somebody who doesn't deserve it, or you draft a position just because the consensus says you should draft that person and stuff like that. So I don't know. It's going to be a fun offseason. We thrive in the offseason. They are the offseason champions many years running. And I'm excited to get back to that, because I hope we get some excitement, because especially with the Harbaugh thing and the Dante Moore thing, like, this is going to be probably the least amount of attention the Jets have had on them in training camp I can remember, unless they make some shocking trade for a quarterback, because this is just not like an exciting team on a national level. Even locally now, the Giants are going to get all the overhype, and, you know, I think it'd be funny if it goes terribly, but like the Giants are going to be having the attention and the Jets are not going to be on the back page of the New York Post as much, I would say, which you could say is a good or a bad thing.
Well, and you know, back to your point about the coaching staff and like getting to the next year, right? Like not doing a quarterback now, but being able to get to the next season. I feel like, you know, come you're 3-14. There was a lot of flaws. So I think Woody would be content and happy with this regime it next year to see like, okay, the guys you signed are producing. We got good talent in the draft. Maybe the offense can't be electric because there's no, there isn't the quarterback, right? But like there's ways that this, that they should improve next year. And it should be very easy to see that improvement based on all the other things they can change around quarterback. So if like, if the defense is better and the offensive line is solid to a degree and you're making smarter decisions in game and all these little things and you win 7 games, right? You go 7-10. And then you know that you're going to be bringing in the quarterback the next year. I feel like there'll be good vibes in a sense compared to right now around this team. The problem is then you bring in that quarterback the year after.
Yeah.
And they have to go through the rookie struggles that almost all quarterbacks do, even if they're eventually going to be great NFL quarterbacks. So you're like, it's almost like 2028 is the year where, hey, we're really going to do it. I mean, not to say rookie quarterbacks haven't made the playoffs, but like,
yeah,
it's just,
but not for the Jets. So.
Fair. Okay. So should we talk about who will be the quarterback of the Jets?
Yeah.
Now that we know it won't be Dante Moore.
So I've started doing my initial research. I think in the next week or two, I'm going to do like a deep, deep dive into all their realistic options. And what I say is my early research I've landed on in terms of like who's going to be their starting quarterback this year. Because, you know, whether they draft Ty Simpson or Chambliss, I don't think those guys are starting week one. The most intriguing guys to me are kind of probably won't come as a surprise to a lot of people, but Mac Jones and Malik Willis are the two that I would be the most okay with if I was a Jets fan in terms of that guy being either the bridge or you see what you have in the guy for a year. And if he's not like a quarterback, then you know that you're going to be going all in on a rookie next year. And I landed on those because, you know, just to pull up, let me pull up Mac Jones's stats because he was pretty good for the 49ers this year. I mean, that it should be said, obviously, that Mac Jones had Kyle Shanahan making him look good and Malik Willis had Matt LaFleur making him look good. And do the Jets have that capability to put a quarterback in position to succeed like that? There is no evidence of that. So that'd be my concern with these guys. And Mac Jones, you probably have to trade a second round pick for him, maybe more. Like I don't know what it would cost, but they have no reason to just give him up and he's on a cheap contract. So second round pick, and there's no guarantee he's gonna play this well, but you know, almost 70% completions, 13 touchdowns, 6 picks. Over 2,000 yards in 11 games, you know, averaging nearly 200 passing yards a game. You know, his QBR 63.3, which is pretty high up in terms of like the league. Pro Football Reference does a stat called success rate, which is when a successful pass gains at least 40% of the yards required on first down, 60% of the yards required on second, and 100% on third. His was 53.4, and I believe the league median is like around like 45, so he was above average for them. Where Malik Willis, little smaller sample size, but when he stepped in for Jordan Love in that system, he's looked really good. Like he's played against the Ravens in December, and he completed 18 of 21 passes for 288, one touchdown, no picks. He ran for two touchdowns. Sorry, so he's mobile. He's got some intriguing arm talent. Like you remember him coming out of that draft a few years ago, he was viewed as like one of the top guys. It was a weak quarterback class. He fell to the third round, was in a really bad situation in Tennessee, and failed when he was kind of thrown into the fire too early. And, you know, he's
and played at Liberty in college.
Played at Liberty.
So never faced elite
small scale. Yeah. So it's a pseudo second chance guy. But he had another chance in the middle with the Packers, and he's gonna cost more than like just a regular stopgap, I think, because a bunch of teams need quarterbacks, and he's the most intriguing one that's available because Daniel Jones is probably going back to the Colts. So I settled on those two. The other ones you're going to hear are Kirk Cousins is a name that's going to come up a lot. I don't know that you want 17 games of him. Like I think he would have been good if you're drafting Ty Simpson. I like Kirk a little more. Mm-hmm. If you're punting the next year, I don't really see the point of Kirk Cousins. He's 37. He's getting worse. He's not mobile. He's not going to last 17 games. So I don't love that. Like Mariota is another one. Like I'd like him better as a bridge if you have the young guy in the building already. Who are some of the other names that I had written down?
Trubisky, Garoppolo.
Yeah, Trubisky, I could see, I guess. And same with Jimmy G. Like those are... Jimmy G wouldn't get through 17 games when he was a full-time starter. So that would be a part of the alarm. You need to sign a couple guys. Trubisky, he wouldn't excite anybody. But he's looked pretty decent for the Bills. He was a starter for the Steelers a few years back. Wasn't great, but he's mobile, can complete passes. I know it's a very baseline. but that this is like the waters you're wading in.
Well, unless... they didn't have complete passes this year. Like that wasn't one of the things. So.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're aiming high and trading all your draft picks, I don't think Burrow's coming. You know, with the Lions, get rid of Jared Goff, probably not, because they don't really have many better options to replace him. I don't think so. I mean, Aaron Rodgers ain't coming back here, certainly. So it's just not a great offseason to need a quarterback. And that's part of why this was a losing day for Dante Moore going back to school, because you're going to be rolling in 2026 with whether it's Malik Willis or Mac Jones or Jimmy G or Kirk Cousins for 17 games. And they don't have a supporting cast around those guys, defense and offense in general, and coaching and all that, where you could say, like, are they for sure going to win more than, are they going to show real signs of improvement? Like, I don't know. Like, can you really reach your highest capability with Kirk Cousins as your quarterback? Like, I just don't see that. Mac Jones and Malik, they have a ceiling that's intriguing, but there's also a floor that is concerning as well. So, like, it could be a rough year for the passing offense again. And then you're going another year without knowing if you have the right system in place and all that stuff, if you're staying with the staff. So I'm concerned about how the offense is going to look. And, you know, having a good offensive line is good. Having Garrett Wilson back, you get a wide receiver too. You get Breece Hall back or another running back, and that's a pretty good offense. But I just... that quarterback situation, at the end of the day, you live and die by your quarterback. And I just, none of those options, even Malik and Mac, who I'm slightly high on, like, I just don't see them winning a lot of games for you either. So it could be ugly offensively, and it's not like the defense is coming off a good year either.
Well, that's a good transition into another story that you have out this week, which is, are the Jets prepared to bring in a young quarterback or a quarterback? Obviously, now they have another year probably to prepare for that franchise quarterback that they hope to have. Even if they do draft like Ty Simpson, you feel like he's not going to start immediately and you have some time. But you did in the story, I thought, a really good job of going back to the Sam Darnold roster and the Zach Wilson roster and comparing those to the current roster. And they are in a better position than those two guys were. And we know how those things ended.
Yeah, and so I wrote that with the idea that Tate Moore would be the one they'd be dropping in to the supporting cast.
I know, yeah. Sometimes you write things and the timing doesn't work.
But, like, remove the player, like, whether it's Mac Jones or Malik Willis or Ty Simpson or Trinidad Chambliss or the quarterback next year. Like, if you just look at purely side-by-side, compare what they have coming into this offseason, what they should have coming out of it to what they had with Sam Darnold in 2018 and what they had with Zach Wilson in 21. Like, I think this is undoubtedly a better supporting cast. I think you could say the 2021 Jets, you know, had probably at the end of the day, more defensive talent on the roster. And so if you want to say in terms of like supporting cast defense wise, but offensive line is absolutely better. Garrett Wilson is better than any receiver those groups had. I think Breece Hall is better than the running backs they had at the time, each time. And so you're plugging that into an offense that Tanner Engstrand, we haven't heard any news about the coaching staff. I was under the impression Engstrand's coming back, but they've kept everything under a tight lid. Like, they haven't really let almost anything leak out other than, you know, a few of us reporting that Wink Martindale had some legit interest and that they were requested an interview with Durante Jones from the Vikings. Other than that, nothing has come out, whether there's been firings or hirings or anything or interviews. And I think it's not that they're not doing the work. I think it's more they've done a good job of not letting that information out of there. And I think there's maybe a little too much focus on not letting information get out. And I don't think it really amounted to anything last year other than disaster. So, but whatever, I don't blame them for that. But anyway, assuming Tanner Engstrand's the OC, you feel better about him than the OC for Darnold, which is Jeremy Bates, who the year before was hired as a QB coach after 5 years away from coaching. LaFleur probably showed, you could argue who showed more signs in their first year, LaFleur or Engstrand. I think LaFleur and him are pretty similar in the way that they're both kind of creative. They both were in their first year as the OC and showed some creativity, but like inconsistent. And so I feel better about Engstrand than maybe most do, I think, because I think he has potential, but he hasn't had a quarterback. So anyway, that's a long way of saying, yeah, I do think this environment is better for the new quarterback than it has been in a while. The big question you would have is coaching, obviously. And if you don't believe in this coaching staff, let's say they all get fired after this year, I still think having the offensive line, having Garrett Wilson, having whoever they have at running back, number two receiver in this draft or whatever, like I still think it's a good supporting cast next year for whatever quarterback they draft.
We just saw the Giants in a situation where, you know, they fire the head coach and keep the general manager. It feels like that would never happen with the Jets, where these two guys are really tied together, right? And Mujee and Glenn are either, they're either going to succeed together or they're going to be fired together.
I wouldn't say that with 100% certainty, but I think that's very, very possible because, you know,
which is the way to do it, in my opinion.
Generally, yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think, and I keep going back to this, I do think Mujee has done a good job of identifying some talent, especially like the Jerron Briggs trade in particular was a great one. Drafting Armon Membu, and, you know, TBD on the rest of that draft class. You know, Phillips and Brownlee, like these have been good. Not like Briggs has been a home run and Membu has been a home run, but I don't think there's been a lot of home runs. But Glenn was involved in all of that too. So, but I can see a scenario where you would fire Glenn and let Mujee stay on. And maybe it's like a John Harbaugh type situation where the guy comes in and gets to pick his people and can decide if the GM stays kind of thing. But that's a down the line thing. Like I think Mujee's fate largely depends on this offseason. If he signs free agents and they're terrible, or if the draft class is really bad, or the quarterback he picks is bad again. And Glenn, again, obviously is heavily, heavily handed in those decisions. Then they probably don't both survive. But I don't say that with 100% certainty. Like I'd lean more, like I would say Mujee had a higher percentage chance of surviving this next season than Glenn does as we sit here right now. But I don't know that it's a, if they're really, really bad again, I don't know that they keep either of them either. So
when the off season started, we committed to positive vibes here on this podcast, Zach, and I'm feeling a lot of negativity.
I know,
you about yesterday and like,
yeah,
it was a net negative and all this stuff. So, before we move on to picks, I need some silver lining here. You know, like if the Jets had gotten Dante Moore, he would have been coming out too soon. He would have failed. They're better off because they could get an elite defender. And, you know, give me the positive.
I mean, the positive is all the assets and money they have in the future. And like I said, the supporting cast being pretty solid on offense. So, you know, I think if you like the job Mujee did last offseason and in the season, I think you could feel excited about the prospect of the free agents he's going to sign and the draft players he's going to draft. And if you don't, I think you can be optimistic about the fact that this job might be appealing for the next guy because of all the assets they have. And, you know, they should have a better core of talent next year. So, you know, I think the biggest goal for this season, and it's a pretty low bar, is you just need to see more than the level of incompetence they showed this last year. You need to show that Aaron Glenn is capable as a coach, that this team is competitive, that everybody is in the right place, that people are saying the right things, and that they are not a complete disaster. Like that's at the end of the day, if they're not a complete disaster this next year, that's a step forward. And if you feel better about the foundation that Glenn keeps talking about, then you can go into the next year feeling a little better. But as you go into the season, they've shown nothing to believe Aaron Glenn is the guy yet. So they have a lot to prove, but the baseline level is competence, and that's what we ask for.
There you have it. All right, let's move on to the picks. Let me get it up here. These are the games. Let's start with the games this time, and then we'll go to the standings. Standings are tight in the race here to the the 2025 flight plan picks competition. But here you go. Four games. This is off. Usually I say this is the best weekend of the playoffs because it's four games, two doubleheaders. All the teams are good. But last weekend was ridiculously good. At least the first four games of last weekend, all four decided with a go-ahead touchdown in the final 3 minutes. It was just awesome game after awesome game. Yeah. And you had the stinker with the Patriots on Sunday night, and then Monday was kind of a stinker too. So that brings us to this. If you were watching on YouTube, we have the picks up, but it starts on Saturday with the Bills visiting the Broncos. Broncos actually home dogs by 1 point. And then Saturday night, the late game, Niners and Seahawks yet again. Seahawks 7.5 point favorites. That one jumps out, but the Niners are so banged up. And then Sunday, it's Houston, New England at 3 o'clock, and then the Rams and Bears at 6:30. These are all good games. And the spreads, like, you know, Denver plus one, the Patriots are minus three, the Rams are minus four, and then Seattle minus 7.5. And I feel like that's because of the injuries. But I just saw that Niners team play last week, you know, and I just feel like they cover that one. I'll start there. I'll say Niners don't win. But that one is real close in Seattle somehow, because that's just what Shanahan seems to be doing with this roster this year.
Yeah, I mean, the coaching is undoubtedly their advantage in general in most games. Losing Kittle the way they did is tough because they have like nothing left on offense now besides McCaffrey. And
McCaffrey's
hurt. Yeah. So I think I still go Seattle minus 7.5, but like, I guess doubt the 49ers at your own risk. The Bills game is like just fascinating to me because the Broncos are the number one seed at home and they're underdogs. I think it's because everybody's betting the Bills is my guess.
Yes, yes. Well, I think everybody still feels like the Bills are like the Super Bowl favorite out of the AFC.
It does feel like
bumps this year. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, and Josh looked amazing in that last game. I think Bills defense has been pretty good. I still lean towards the Bills winning, but I am a little concerned about how everybody's picking the Bills. A lot of times that becomes, especially a team that has to go on the road like that. It's going to be interesting, but I think I have the Bills going to the Super Bowl and winning it personally. Yeah. But Denver is kind of like Chicago, except they won more games, and that all of their wins have been like close games, even against bad teams, good teams. They're all close, and Bo Nix hasn't really had a chance to play in a game like this, so we don't know how he's going to handle it. I just think the Bills ultimately, they obviously have the best player on the field, and they probably
worry will be Allen took a beating last week, and it's the playoffs, so he's going to put his body on the line, and that Denver defense is tough. I just hope Allen stays healthy and is on the field as the best player throughout the game.
Yeah. I mean, and the Bills have no receivers and the Broncos have an elite defense. So if it's a low scoring game, like, I don't know, you maybe feel a little better about the Broncos, but I don't know. I have a hard time picking against Josh Allen right now. Houston, New England is also a really good game, but like the unfortunate outcome of this, they had a shorter week is they probably aren't going to have Nico Collins because he's in concussion protocol. And the Patriots might not have Christian Gonzalez either. So you're removing
that battle. Yeah.
Yeah. So it seemed like the Patriots wouldn't have Christian Gonzalez. And then you're like, okay, if the Texans get to that game, then Nico doesn't have the number one corner. And now you're about to lose your best weapon on offense. And he's a legit number one receiver. So if I was going to pick Houston before, not having Nico makes it concerning for me. I think it'll be a good game though, because their defense is just unreal. Like, this is the best defense the Patriots are going to face. You're going to really find out what Drake May is made of.
Drake May he didn't look like an MVP last week. He played good.
In the first half,
honestly,
at least.
He's probably still the reason they won the game, right, with his legs. But
it was his first playoff game. It was his first playoff game for sure. So.
And they are home, and that's going to make a difference. It's going to be cold in New England. You know, Houston coming up, those guys aren't as used to it. So, yeah, that one's fascinating. I have Houston, but I can definitely see that one going either way. And then finally, Rams, Bears. The Bears have been such a kind of a cool story this year, but I just think this Rams team survived last week and now they may just crank it up. And I could see, I could see Bills Rams Super Bowl, which is probably what we would have said at like week 5.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I think that's probably the best outcome for the league. You have Josh Allen battling Matthew Stafford. For me, I like the idea of Sam Darnold getting the Super Bowl, so that kind of excites me. But for this game, I'm saying Chicago plus four mainly because they keep every game close, or they fall behind and come back. I don't know if it's going to be an interesting one because the Rams looked really sloppy against the Panthers of all teams. Maybe they looked past them, but I say Chicago plus four, but the Rams still win by like 3 points is my prediction.
All right, let's check in on the standings. Quattro 02, 209 points for the season. Mark A. Checky, 209 points for the season. Mark A. Checky, two more wins last week than Quattro 02. So there is a tie at the top between those two guys in the standings. I would say NCH, two games back, still has an outside chance. The problem is the games are dwindling. So he's going to have to he's going to have to pick up a game at least this week, because after this week, there's obviously just the championship games and then the Super Bowl. And then I think that's it. I think everybody below that would have to really get lucky and bet a opposite of what everybody else is doing and have them come through. So it seems like it's a three-horse race at this point, two tied at the top. So good luck to you guys in these final few weeks of the competition. Anything else for you, Zach, before we say goodbye?
No, I'd say the next, unless the Jets hire DC in the near future, we will probably just come back with one next week, TBD on the day. It's a little more fluid this time of the year for us as we like figure out our schedule and stuff like that. But
also TBD on the time, because I'm actually going to be in London next week. So
that's right. Okay.
Work trip. We'll figure it out. Not joy.
I mean, if there's a week to take off, it would be next week, but we'll see. We'll see if we can come up with a excuse to get back out and chat with you guys. But yeah, looking forward to, I'd say the next big things would be the Jets staff forming and taking shape. And then, you know, the combine will be at the end of February. And that's usually around when you start making decisions on like whether you're going to release guys for cap casualty, which would be Justin Fields. But a lot of the news coming up is just about the playoffs and the Super Bowl. So looking forward to following that along. And if Sam Darnold keeps going, then we have a Jets thing to talk about. So go Sammy D.
All right. Thank you everybody for tuning in to Flight Plan. We'll talk to everybody hopefully next week, if not the week after. We'll talk to you all soon.